College football fans, welcome back to the College Ball Show. He's Marshall. I'm Chris, and we're here to break down some college football. What else? Week 8. You know, to be honest with you, through the top 25, there were a bunch of games that kind of turned out how we thought they would. However, it's not like we didn't get upsets. That's for sure. Penn State goes down swinging with a controversial ending. Well, two controversial endings, actually. But of course, the second one was, did the guy score or not? But it doesn't matter. 36-35 in overtime. Indiana pulls off a big, big, big upset. Couple other games that actually were closer than the score made it appear, or that type of thing. A couple of these games were pretty good, like that Cincinnati SMU actually did tighten up, and then Cincinnati just ran away with the game. Wake Forest pulled an upset on Virginia Tech. You really don't, besides Clemson and kind of Miami so far, you really don't know what's going to happen in that conference. Same with Georgia Southern and Coastal Carolina. We told you that was going to be a tight game. 28-14, the ranked Coastal Carolina got it done, but that was actually a very competitive game down the stretch. Oklahoma State and Iowa State was a good game. So there was a variety of games kind of off the radar that we'll get into. As far as Week 9 goes, a lot of stuff that would be kind of in the hardcore barn burner or under the radar type stuff. Being that Penn State lost last week, that Ohio State Penn State game, lost a little bit of buzz off of it, obviously. Memphis-Cincinnati is one of those hardcore barn burners that I think will be a really good game. Some competitive games that we'll talk about. I'm kind of interested to see the different styles with SMU and Navy. I think that could be interesting. But there is some games out there that we'll definitely discuss. Usually Michigan State in Michigan is like, all right, here we go. But we know that Michigan State is pretty much down right now. So we're going to break down Week 8. Look at Week 9, whether it comes to, like I said, straight up predicting some of those games or, you know, talking about the line, the betting line against the spread. Can they cover? Yada, yada, yada. Maybe pull the upset of the week type of thing. And then, of course, we end the show with the crafty, crappy pick of the week. And, man, did my co-host, it's a team here. He picks the game or he picks the actual game, which won, and then I pick the outcome, and man, did we have an outcome. So much so, it happened once last year too, where we literally ESPN led with this game that we picked. But this one was, I mean, the ending with the field goal miss was just, it wasn't an actual ending, but what could have been a winning field goal was just crazy. But we got another one. So I think it is 4-1 now in that crafty, crappy pick of the week. Because the week before we were wondering, we couldn't remember which one, but I did pick Navy and they went down. So we're going to get into this stuff in just a moment. We'll cover some stats and all that good stuff, some crazy numbers out there that were put up last Saturday. If this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. It streams live at archives. But if you want to listen to the College Ball Show, you don't have to go to the Blog Talk and download or listen to the browser there. You can find this show under the Ropeadope Radio podcast at Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Stitcher, really almost across the board. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found everywhere, including Spotify. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com? It's football, it's basketball, it's baseball, it's everything in between. I mean, you got all boxing, everything like that. One more thing, if you're thinking about cutting the cord, or you cut it and you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. They do have a 7-day free trial. There's no annual contracts. The plans start as low as $55 a month when you sign up. You can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR, of course. And right now, if you sign up, you get a 30-day free trial of HBO Max. There's another layer that I'll tell you about. If you get the Max package, that'll already include HBO Max, plus a free month of Showtime, which is normally $11 a month. Something to think about. AT&T TV Now. Like I said, live streaming cable. Okay, Marshall. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host. And we might as well start with the biggest outcome, I guess you could say, from week 8. And that is Indiana pulling the upset, 36-35. They were a 6 or 7 point underdog, so it wasn't like a crazy, crazy thing, but a crazy ending in general. Indiana got off to a pretty good start in the first half. I think they were up 17-7, 14 points in the, or 21 points in the second half for Penn State. Just couldn't quite get over it. In overtime, Penn State did score 7, but they got that 2-point conversion to finish it off. And when we look at these, you know, the chances of winning type stuff, it is pretty freaking crazy. At 90, what was it? 99. I got it right here. Or I had it right here. I just moved it on accident. It's like 99.9%. 99.9. This is the win probability when it was 21-20. 99.9. 4th and 21. Actually, that was after the 4th and 21. But that it's just crazy that they dropped this game in general. Obviously, did the ball cross, you know, the goal line? I don't know. To me, it did look like it was short. It was going to be hard to overturn. Let's break down this game, man. This was a pretty big upset and just a great way to start for Indiana, obviously. But just in general, what did you think of that outcome? And then, you know, there was a little coach's error there as well that I want you to get into.
Yeah, I'll never complain about ripping on Franklin a little bit. So, good evening, Chris. It was, you know, Indiana's always played Penn State pretty tightly. And Indiana's honestly one of those teams where they're always, like, projected to be, like, decent. And they normally have decent years, but they're never taking a big step up. They finally, maybe this could be a year where they maybe elevate their play a little bit more. This was a great win to start off the season. You upset the 8th-ranked team in the country. It was 17-7 and a half, like you said. Penn State outscores Indiana 14-11 in the fourth quarter. But as I'm watching the videos of the replays of this game, so let's just fast forward a little bit. Penn State's up by 1, and there's a minute 44 to go, and all they have to do is take knees and run out the clock to win. So from a fundamental standpoint, you know, and again, I was telling you before the show, I think sometimes we glorify these coaches too much because they either get caught up in the moment or they're not savvy as they should be. So all Penn State has to do is take the knee 3 or 4 times, you win the game, walk out the door, you're champions, like you won, like that. It's that simple. But Franklin obviously wasn't paying attention, and his running back wasn't either, because as Penn State's up 21-20, their running back breaks past the line of scrimmage and starts running towards the end zone, and no one in Indiana's trying to stop him. So you can see the second he crosses the end zone, he tries to do that little backward step. It's like, oh crap. And there's even like a little bit of like a little Tiger Woods fist pump by one of the Indiana players, because they're like, oh yes, he fell for it. Like, all right, we got a chance now. So you go from a game that you should have won at the 99.9%, but since you weren't paying attention to the clock, didn't realize the situation, which again is mind-blowing for the amount of money he makes, and for the coaches he has on his team. Like, there's so many people responsible on Penn State that could be like, hey, coach, like, let's just take a knee and win. Like, it's not just Franklin, but, I mean, this could have been the quarterback, this could have been a lineman, this could have been one of the 15 assistants I'm sure Penn State has. So they fall apart.
Indiana was out of timeouts. Is that true?
Yeah, they're out of timeouts. So really, a minute 44 to go. If you take three knees, I believe the clock's going to run out on fourth down. Like, it's a win-win. You're set. But so again, they decide to run. The running back had a brain cramp. So again, brilliant coaching from Indiana's standpoint. If you're the defense, like, oh, dude, let's just let him run. Like, okay, he doesn't know. Oh, let's let him score. And again, as you see him cross the end zone, he's like, uh-oh. So that happens. But now, to give Indiana credit, they had to go down the field and get a touchdown and get the two-point conversion, which they did on a quarterback sneak, which was awesome. So then the game goes in overtime, and Penn State scores again, and Indiana's like, you know what, let's just go for the damn win. So Indiana scores, and then they have the pylon dive at the end, which appears, if you did zoom in closely, it appears he was either a tish out of bounds or the ball hit down before it hit the pylon. It's super, super close. Like, I'm just watching it live now. Live to the naked eye, it's you can't tell. I mean, when I first saw it, my gut was like, I wasn't sure. But as a live, seeing that play live as a referee, they made the call in the field to stand as a touchdown. As Chris and I were saying before, it's super hard to overturn. But that was a really fun win. Like, that was a really fun football game to watch. Like, it had craziness. It had some mental mistakes. It had a crazy ending. That's a hell of a win for Indiana to start off the year, Chris. But and we've had some other coaches do some stuff that was a little weird, and we'll get to that this week. But, yeah, just a mental lapse on Penn State. You really can't let it bother you, though, too much, because you got freaking Ohio State coming into town who didn't have any mental lapses week one from the scoreboard standpoint. So, yeah, but a fun win, a mistake. And I almost want to say, though, this won't be the last time, Chris, we talk about a situation like this, though. Sometime later than this year, maybe next week or the week after, we're going to have another. Oh, crap. We just lost the game on doing something dumb. And it kind of makes you shake your head some days, my friend.
Yeah, and if you look at this game, first downs in favor of Penn State, 27-16, 488 total yards to 211, 250 rushing to 41, and it's not like Indiana didn't try. They had 26 rushing attempts. That's not a lot, but they had only 41 yards. They turned the ball, over twice. Penn State had an extra turnover. Now, the 10 penalties was key on Penn State, but 40 to 20, basically, as far as time of possession, and they end up losing that game. I don't know if they were looking ahead or, their defense isn't all that good, or, you did mention that we have kind of noticed that, the Hoosiers do play them tight over the years, and obviously Vegas didn't think it was going to be a blow because it was like a 6 or 7 point spread, but still, man, that was pretty dramatic. The other big game, as far as ranked, well, there's a couple of ranked versus ranked. Michigan destroyed Minnesota. It was 21-17, and then all hell broke loose. It was 35-20 at half or something like that. Basically, the Gophers ran the ball pretty well, but they couldn't pass protect. Some random COVID issues where our best offensive lineman and the second, well, not the second best, but another starter on that side didn't have a kicker or a punter, and the backup kicker, one of them was hurt and the other one had just had sports hernia surgery, so he could only kick the ball 30 yards. Didn't have a punter. One of the punters out with COVID. The other one had left the team like a month ago randomly. So we had a 19-yard punt, and we actually didn't punt as much as we thought. It was a mess. But the other one, so Michigan looked pretty good, though. I'll say that, giving them credit as well. It was really the explosive plays, a kickoff return inside the goal line, a 70-yard touchdown run, which has nothing to do with COVID, obviously, and then a sack that bounced out of the quarterback's hand into a defensive lineman. He just ran for a touchdown. So pretty ugly start there for my Gophers. But that Oklahoma State, Iowa State was a pretty good game, 24-21. Oklahoma State, we knew they could run the ball. Both teams ran the crap out of the ball, 227 and 226. Wow. Oklahoma State was able to pass it a little bit better. I think some of those turnovers kind of kept that game from getting away. But I thought they looked pretty good. What'd you think of Oklahoma State over Iowa State? Purdy didn't have a great game, but Hall, you know, that dude, 20 carries, buck 85. They had, like I mentioned, 227 overall. Just couldn't get the job done. They just kind of fell short. But, you know, Oklahoma State, 4-0 now.
Literally, we didn't plan this, but God, that game pissed me off, Chris, because I bet the over, and freaking Iowa State missed three field goals. And I normally never give Oklahoma State much props on this pod, but they massively outcoached Iowa State. Holy shit. I mean, Purdy looked about as mobile as Kirk Cousins, and they had no answer at all on what to do on offense. And I also bet the game live at the start of the game because Iowa State was up 7. They had a good drive. They missed the field goal to go up 10-0. And it was just – I've never seen Iowa State struggle to score and move the ball so much at all. Like, I didn't realize this. They have 3 wide receivers who are 6'5" or taller, which is the tallest average height of any college or NFL team in the country. And they just – they're offensively, they were a disaster. They had one – a big run for a touchdown play, but Purdy looks like absolute trash. And this is a team who they normally score their points. They have a respectable defense. The defense played respectable, but I got to give massive credit. I mean, you know, normally when you watch games, your last thing you're thinking about is like a defense coordinator's game plan. But Chris, they had no, I don't even, the score is even misrepresentative of the game because there was just, the Iowa State tried a lot of quick wide receiver screens, never worked. They couldn't run the ball besides the one big run. Purdy couldn't scramble. Like, they didn't know what to do. So I will give massive props, 5-star, gold star, to Oklahoma State's defensive coordinator because they put up a hell of a game plan. And I was pissed I didn't cash my over either. If the field goals would have gone, that could have helped. But sure. That was a nice win. Maybe, you know, at the start of the year, I'd heard that Oklahoma State has maybe the best defense in the Big 12. And obviously, you know, that title's not going to Oklahoma or Texas, and sure as hell not Texas Tech. So I'm a little more sold on that now. Now, again, it's only one game, but sure. It bothered me because I lost a good chunk of money, and I've just never quite seen Iowa State stifled like that. So maybe there is some truth to Oklahoma State having the best defense, which honestly, in a year like this, Chris, where it's kind of that weird year and Oklahoma and Texas are out the picture. This could be a year where Oklahoma State could win the Big 12. Like you got a great running back. I would say an average quarterback. You have one stud receiver and a respectable defense. Like, okay. You know, you might not run the table and go undefeated, but right now you have as good a chance as anyone else is to run and getting a Big 12 title. And it seems like it's been quite a while. I know they had that one year where Iowa State upset them before they had their national title. They might have won the Big 12 that year, but it's been, as the kids would say, it's been a minute since Oklahoma State's won the Big 12 to the best of my knowledge, my friend. And maybe this is the year just because they seem to have enough pieces in place.
Yeah, it's a good point. And usually the defense part, you know, that doesn't necessarily line up.
True.
You know what I mean?
I know.
That's usually, I mean, just in general, I mean, what do we got? TCU? Who else plays good defense in the Big 12?
TCU, you're right. Always Gary Patterson always has a great job. And Kansas State's normally respectable, but I would say besides TCU and K-State, that's about it.
So maybe Oklahoma State can keep that going. We'll see. Speaking of Kansas State, they had a bye. They played Kansas 55-14, so they had a bye week. I mentioned Michigan whooping on my Gophers 49-24, Wake Forest 23-16. Just when I thought Virginia Tech was looking pretty good, North Carolina bounced back 48-21 over NC State. BYU kept it moving 52-14, no problems. Virginia was a pretty good game. It was 7-7 for a while, then it was 19-7. There was a late fourth quarter touchdown to make it 19-14, but the Canes. They actually missed a touchdown to really close out that game, but they closed out the game pretty strong anyway, moved to 5-1 on the season. And that Cincinnati SMU, that was the other ranked versus ranked Cincinnati now 4-0, SMU suffering their first loss. That running back, I guess, you know, he hadn't looked good. They kept saying it during the broadcast. He hadn't looked good or whatever. And so the Ritter is his name. And it's, I guess a lot of local fans weren't too happy. Well, he bounced back in a major
way. Good Lord.
I mean, holy, he had shit. 8 carries, buck 79 in 3 touchdowns, and was just serviceable as a thrower, had a touchdown, only 21 tosses. But, I mean, the guy was everywhere. So you had Ritter and Doakes. I mean, that's almost over 300 yards just between them. That Cincinnati team is a team where you're going to start to look at and go, well, what about Cincinnati? What are we going to do with Cincinnati? They have Memphis. They have Houston. They have Central Florida. They have Temple, who's pretty good. So unlike, you know, because BYU kind of all of a sudden had to change their schedule's weak is what I'm saying. They kind of had to change their schedule because they were going to go earlier than, you know, where they it's kind of all over the place. But they don't have a good schedule. Well, this really helps because Cincinnati's already top 10, and they got some teams on the schedule that, you know, might give them a run for their money and it make them look good. But, man, Ritter. Wow, he had a great game.
Yeah, and that's a guy who I kept ripping, saying he's a below-average passing quarterback. Well, shit. If you can run the ball for 8 times for a buck, almost 80, yeah. I'll give him credit. That also is a massive, massive red flag to that SMU defense who gave up the 3rd and 39 a week ago as to, your defense might not be that good. If you know for a fact a quarterback who can't throw that well, ran for a buck. I mean, and he is not that super quick. This is not the reincarnation of Michael Vick. So I'll give him credit, like massive credit to Ritter, a guy who I've ripped quite a bit because I don't think he's a great pocket passer, but he didn't have to be this game. But dude, it's been a really long time, Chris, besides like a option quarterback. Hell, Jalen Hurts never ran that much for Bama or Oklahoma. That, man, that's a lot of runs. Well, SMU, if you bet them going forward, they're be weary about that defense. And speaking of more things to be pissed off about, my boy Lane Kiffin, freaking the instant replay gods came through for Auburn again. Fucking last week they deserved to lose to Arkansas, and this week, okay, was it a guaranteed loss? No, but Ole Miss scores a touchdown to go up one on Auburn. Like late fourth quarter.
Bo Nix the God, God.
Ole Miss kicks off the ball, and the ball bounces off. When you see on replay, it's clear, to my opinion, not to the fucking replay officials, the ball bounces off an Auburn player's finger on like the 12-yard line and rolls into the end zone. Right away after the ball initially appears to bounce off his finger, he runs right back to it but then stops, and the ref kind of blows the whistle, play dead. An Ole Miss player falls on the ball in the end zone for a touchdown. Replay shows the ball hit his pinky finger. Instead, though, the game is not stopped for review. The initial booth replay officials say we had no conclusive evidence showing it hit a finger. It hit the damn finger. So now instead of Ole Miss being up 8 with momentum and like not much time left, Auburn goes down, scores, and went like, dude, how do you miss a call where the replay, like, we're so huge on replay nowadays in this country for football. Sure.
For but every damn if you sport now.
Yeah. I mean, the worst is like the is now, for a quick sidebar, the worst now is in baseball when a guy steals a base and a centimeter of his pinky slides off the base. And at that point, he becomes out. Like, you know, that's not how that's meant to be. But for football, speaking of pinkies, the ball hit his hand. It was a clear deflection. Again, if it hadn't touched him, why'd you run backwards towards it? Ole Miss guy falls on it. They're like, nah, we don't need it. Huh? And Ole Miss ends up losing. So, yeah, screw. Auburn now has won 2 games in a row due to a very, very generous, fucking generous
That's
instant
Bo
replay.
Nix, man. Bo Nix magic,
God
dude.
Damn.
That's all it is. That's all it is, man. Bo Nix magic, man. He's the guy over there. He is the guy.
And let me finish off my rant, because this is the biggest rant I have. Freaking kickers. I made a nice, wealthy, generous bet on team totals. I saw South Carolina was playing LSU, and all South Carolina had to do was score over 24.5 points. I would have had pretty much a month paid of rent if I'd hit that bet. Just saying. South Carolina scored 24 points, Chris. They missed it by half. What you may have failed to realize is that South Carolina's kicker was 1 of 4. He missed a 52, a 40, and a 38. Made one fucking kick. One.
Just one.
Or the defense could have the balls of South Carolina scored. They scored 24 points. There's 8 minutes left in the game. LSU goes on an 8-minute drive to finish the game. So LSU screwed me. The kicker screwed me. I'm still pissed about Iowa State's non-offensive game plan, but it's off the chest now. It's over. I'm done. Thanks for letting me vent. I hate kickers because the Saints kicker, the Saint Chargers game a few weeks ago cost me a good chunk. And kickers, like, get your shit together. Like, your job is, you have one job, kick the ball through the uprights. And if you can't do it, find someone else that can. But I'm good now. I'm smiling. I feel a little bit better. But yeah, it was a rough week of some bad beats for me, my friend.
Well, I'm wondering, just as a Gopher fan, did we cut the soccer programs? Because if we don't have a kicker, we might as well just freaking, I'll take, hey, women's soccer players, they can kick the shit out of the ball too. Whichever team they still got, bring them to the field, man. We need it, because this little 30-yard pooch punt on kickoffs, that's not going to – it wasn't even a pooch. I'm sorry, a pop-up. Yeah, pop-up to the 35 every time. That's how you almost
– you almost want to try an onside kick. I mean, the yard differential is not a whole lot different.
That's what they did on that fourth down punt. He looked at it. He's like, well, at least I'll have a shot. You're kind of breaking up weird, not breaking up, but like there's a little hesitation. I don't know if you're in a different spot of the room or maybe it's just, I don't know what it is. Not breaking up, but you can do it. You can kind of hear it just a little bit. Good news here. As of right now, knock on wood, there's no postponements right now. And there was only one canceled game last week. So that's good. There were some teams with the Big Ten and Mountain West, and you know, all the other conferences that got back. Boise State came back and looked really good over Utah State. That's usually a pretty good game, 42-13. No problem there. Missouri got a nice little win, 20-10 over Kentucky. Purdue beat Iowa 24-20. And also Rutgers got their first Big Ten win in like 2 years over Michigan State, 38-27. There was a couple of interesting games. That Temple-Memphis game was decent until it wasn't. Obviously, you know, there was Ohio State rolled, Notre Dame rolled, Alabama rolled, but they did lose a star wide receiver. Clemson rolled, but not by 42 points or whatever, or 46 that they were favored. So that's something. And then Wisconsin rolls to, not the hugest surprise there. They're dealing with an injury in the starting, you know, to their starting quarterback. I think he's due back this year, but I think it's a foot issue, so you never really know. Anyway, stud youngster comes in there, Mertz, in Mert, Illinois, 20-21 for 248. They ran the ball pretty well too. But what happened after the game, Marshall?
Are we talking the good old Madison, Wisconsin?
Oh yeah.
Where I believe my co-host actually at some point in his life may have had a couple of run-ins.
I've been to jail. I've been to jail. Not, I mean, for good trouble though. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't like I, you know, did something crazy. But the Mifflin block party is all you gotta say. Google it. The next year there was riots. They stopped the Mifflin block party.
Yeah,
anyway,
Halloween is usually off the
chain. It's so nuts. Minnesota residents, unless you're a student there, can't go to Halloween in Madison. They won't allow it. You get in trouble. That's how bad it is.
I was just going to say, this is a city now that does not allow people outside the state to visit for Halloween. So That tells you how much fun that place is. After their quarterback had a game where he was 20 of 21 passing the ball, and just put on a clinic, which, I mean, as a Badger fan, we were well aware that they're normally a team who has a great running back, a good line, a great defense, normally an average quarterback. Mertz was, 20 of 21, 248, 5 TDs. He decided to go have some fun. That's what the rumors were reporting. He went down to State Street, which is, you can imagine, a pretty fun drinking establishment, and he got COVID. So after having one of the better performances Badger quarterbacks had maybe in a really, really long time, he's now out for 3 weeks. And that's pretty frustrating if you can imagine being a Badger fan. Now, again, put things in perspective. A young star quarterback has a fat game and he goes out to party. Like, I get it. But where it comes back to, you know, what's your priority? Are you wanting to be this team's leader and be a quarterback and maybe, you know, work your way up to becoming a potential draft pick or like, you know, or becoming like a respectable player, or you're just going to kind of be dumb, go get drunk and party. And now you got COVID. So you're going to miss at Nebraska versus Purdue at Michigan. And I don't give him any sympathy because he knew the rules.
They're not big on mask in Wisconsin too. Cause remember the Supreme Court overruled early on in the process and they just stormed the bars. We're talking like mid May.
And it's his own choice, but I'm sure there's plenty of upset Badger fans. I'm sure there's plenty of upset players on the team. Like, hey, you know, hey guys, like, hey, we were 1-0. We had a great win. Like, offense is clicking. Like, all right, let's do it again. And I know it shows that, like, no, Wisconsin's like a 93-point chance to win against Nebraska, Purdue, and like a 73 against Michigan. But A, it seems super high from the FPI index, and B, it's just not true. Now you're looking at a different quarterback scenario because you had one guy hurt. Like, that was just, it wasn't a smart decision. Now he's out, but I'm completely sticking with the rules. Like, the Big Ten was cautious about COVID. You can disagree with how they handled it, but I think there's at least a small percentage of them wanting to have the athletes get sick or get injured or, you know, have health concerns. And you knew that and you decided to go and party. And now you're out for three games in a row. And that really puts a detriment on your team. And it could maybe cost him losing his own spot. You know, like let's say the Badgers win the next three games and maybe the backup quarterback wasn't ever supposed to take your spot. Now he does. Team builds confidence and lack of trust in you. Now you don't come back on the field again this year. Who knows? But yeah, that wasn't smart.
I'm not too bummed out
that.
About it.
No.
I think he's going to party. I think he should keep partying and see if he can test positive again. That's just me. You know what I mean? I'm about freedoms. No, I'm just kidding. I'm about the Badgers picking up another L. Is what I'm about. Dude, 8 turnovers for Michigan State in that game. 5 fumbles, 1 pick, 2 fourth down stuffs. Ouch. Speaking of ouch, Clemson, that stud running back, had another 3 rushing touchdown day. It's his 6th one. He has 64 career touchdowns, tied for 7th most in the history of the sport. Pretty damn good over there at Clemson. They got it rolling. Anything else when it comes to week eight, before we get into some of these games and, of course, the crappy pick of the week to close the show?
Just quickly, shout out to Mizzou. I know Mizzou and USC are two of my favorite teams, and I've not had much love for Mizzou for the past 4 years, but maybe this coach Drinkwitz, like, maybe this guy's got something going. Like, we were saying last week, like, Kentucky in their games against Mississippi State and their game against Tennessee gave up like 9 points in 2 games. And
in that Auburn game too.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a team in Kentucky that's a really good team. And you have a young quarterback, that Basilick in Mizzou, who's a freshman. Like, okay, like, hey, again, I'm not expecting Mizzou to do anything too crazy. But if we're just trying to be optimistic, you've now beat LSU, who, again, their defense was rough. But you beat LSU, and now you beat Kentucky. Like, okay, for once in the last while, there's actually some optimism. So maybe this Drinkwitz is a great offensive mind, like they said he was going to be. This Baselak kid could be potentially good. Like, all right, I'm a little optimistic for Mizzou. So that was a great win against, you probably face one of the probably the best defense in the SEC, I would say, or if not, probably Georgia, but maybe you just beat the second best defense in the SEC. So credit to Mizzou. It's been a while since I've been able to brag about them on the show for a little bit, and I still have no faith at all this year at all in USC. So I'll probably just keep riding Mizzou, Chris, because I'm sure Clay Helton's going to lose games he never should, and we'll just continue down that road.
You're right, though. They're putting up respectable efforts and picking up a win or being competitive when maybe we weren't sure that they're going to be. As far as week 9 goes, not a ton of ranked versus ranked, but we know how that can just pop up on you, and all of a sudden we have a great week. We do have number 3 Ohio State against number 18 Penn State. You know, could Ohio State be kind of being like, you know what, they're not that good, and overlook them? You know, I guess that's a potential for that. Georgia and Kentucky, that's actually the one I was looking at. Memphis and Cincinnati 7-point favorite. That's going to be interesting coming off that great win. Can Cincinnati, although they'd be at home, and home field's not the hugest thing right now, as we know, but to bounce right back against a really good offense, 7-point spread, but that could be interesting right there. There's several hardcore games, the hardcore barn burners. Georgia State, Coastal Carolina, 3-point favorite. That should be a good game. The other game I was looking at, Texas and Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State, 3.5. I'm looking at an upset right there. That's potentially an upset, I think. Arkansas, Texas A&M. Arkansas looking a little better this year. I think I misspoke on that. I was thinking Georgia, Arkansas when I was thinking about that. But also Missouri against Florida. I wonder if Florida has some players out still in that game, because they're fresh off their break. That it wasn't a bye, it was a forced bye. That could be interesting. I already mentioned the stylistic matchup of Navy and SMU. North Carolina, Virginia. I know Virginia is 1-4, but they're only a 6.5 point underdog, so that could be interesting as well. Do you think that Ohio State, Penn State, do you think Ohio State could be overlooking this team all of a sudden? Like, oh man, they played tight with Indiana. There are some times in the first month that Ohio State plays teams closer than they should, and then they usually improve as the year goes on. Any chance that could happen here? Just a bounce back, just a we're pissed off type of thing. I'll tell you this, Clifford's a good quarterback, but he ran 17 times last week. They're going to need to hand it off to the running back as well. 12.5 points. Do you think Penn State could maybe sneak under that, or you think Ohio State just locked and loaded with that stud QB and a bunch of talent, even though they lost talent, of course, but it's Ohio State, for Christ's sake?
I think for the last couple of years, I mean, if you want to consider all the rivalries in the Big Ten, I mean, I guess you could probably argue that Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Ohio State, Penn State have been like the two best rivalry games. Like, it's not Ohio State, Michigan, because Michigan never wins. And Michigan State, Michigan has been that great either. But Ohio State, Penn State, really, I could care less about either team. They've been a really good rivalry back and forth. I mean, Franklin's already like tweeting stuff about, you know, the game inside. It just seems there's a little bit of bad blood there, and there's some normally competitiveness. These teams are both normally ranked pretty highly. So I think this is a game where both teams will be fully prepared. I would maybe give Penn State a little bit of a break for last week, you know, looking past Indiana, but it's your first game of the year. So, if this was later in the season, Chris, I could say, oh, you know, maybe Penn State was looking forward to Ohio State, but first game of the year, not really. But no, I expect this to be a really close game. These games normally are. Normally Penn State always does, you know, like the crowds for this game are always pretty crazy, and this is always your typical 7:30 Saturday night Kirk Herbstreit game. So I expect it to be fun. I think the 12-point spread is fair and respectful to Ohio State. Again, this is just a Penn State team that did lose to Indiana, whether it was for poor coaching or an offense that couldn't go in the first half. fair and justified. I'll take Ohio State just because I think they're the more skilled team. But, yeah, this should be a really fun game to watch.
Yeah, I got Ohio State, too. They're just – even if it takes a while, which I think it will, I think they'll just start – once they get the ball rolling, I think they'll really start to take over. But I am looking at that spread. I wonder if they're if Ohio State recover. I think they will, but it is one to kind of take a look at. Another one, Cincinnati-Memphis, I just mentioned it. 7-point spread. I wouldn't be shocked if Memphis won, but I could see them sneaking in under that spread. They did, you know, lose to SMU a couple of weeks back. They bounced back against a pretty good club in Central Florida, and they were down two scores, ended up winning that game 50-49, looked good last week against Temple. I don't know. I mean, you know, SMU was a good team. They smoked them, but I don't know. Maybe the back-to-back weeks to perform at a high level sometimes, especially in college, that can catch you a little bit. And Memphis has a fair amount of people from last year. And I don't know, man. That one's kind of making me think that I may pick that for against the spread, but maybe an upset. I don't know. What do you think on that? I mean, back-to-back, he's going to have to put up a lot of points against Cincinnati, and it may just come down to the run game. Can Memphis even somewhat slow down the run game?
And that's the tough part about Memphis is just their defense is so bad. I mean, that's always kind of been their story. Like, Brady White's been a quarterback, feels like he's been there for a long time. Memphis will score points in Cincinnati, but you'd assume Cincinnati has a better defense, I would say, and Memphis has a better offense. So I think the game kind of gets decided on that standpoint. I don't think we'll have a repeat of a Michael Vick impersonation. I think that Memphis might watch some film and maybe shut that down a little bit. But if I had to bet it, I would lean. I'll lean towards Memphis. I don't think that Cincinnati's offense can recreate that magic again. And I just think it's a typical Memphis-Cincinnati shootout, and I'll lean towards Memphis getting the job done. You're asking a lot for a quarterback to put in that much of a running effort again. And if Memphis can make him pass, now you're playing a game where you can win. Because, again, Memphis should be able to score points. They always do.
Yeah, I mean, they're averaging passing-wise 344 as far as doing it. But they're also giving up 440 right now.
Dear Lord. So,
I mean, maybe it won't be as hard to pass as we think. You know what I mean? It's like, huh, now that I look at that, it kind of talks me out of it. But, man, I mean,
in fairness, one of the reasons that number's so inflated is due to their massive shootout with UCF, where the teams had freaking 1,200, 1,300 yards.
Yeah, he had 600 yards.
So it's a little inflated.
Just that one, 600. So, I mean, it is inflated. And it's still early, but I like Memphis under the spread, but I'm going to go with Cincinnati just barely. But I am looking forward to that. I think that'll be kind of interesting as far as a competitive game. Minnesota and Maryland, I do think Minnesota's going to win, but 19.5. The only reason why I say is because we don't know if those offensive linemen are actually going to come back this week. Well, one of them is not. He's hurt. But the other one had COVID. We still don't know if he's out for the season or not. They have to basically have this guy get interviewed to tell us media-wise. So, I don't know. 19.5 seems like a lot of points to me. So, that one you may want to take a look at. I'm not totally sure on that one, but that one's going to be interesting. Here's another fun one as far as hardcore barn burner. Houston in USF, Central Florida. Central Florida is a 3 going on the road to Houston, but that'll be an up-and-down affair. I think that'll be really interesting. TCU-Baylor, another one. You know, LSU Auburn normally is a big deal. It's going to be on CBS late afternoon. It's got that slot. It probably won't get the rating it normally does. But competitive wise, another 3-point game, Northwestern Iowa. Like I mentioned, Texas, Oklahoma State. I'm actually picking Texas for the upset, minor upset over Oklahoma State. So, like I said, there's not a ton of just, oh my God, rank versus rank, but there's a lot of interesting games in the week 9 schedule as far as just competitiveness.
Yeah, there are. And again, a lot of times we've done this show for so many years now, a lot of times where we say, hey, there's not many ranked versus ranked games. Those are the most fun shows to come back and do a recap on just because an upset occurred or there's just a bunch of great games. Like that really doesn't deter me like it maybe used to back in the day. Like, oh, man, there's not many ranked games. Like, oh, that, OK, that's fine. You don't got to be a ranked team this year, especially this year in football, Chris, where,
True. That's a good point.
All right. Let me ask you a what if question. OK, I'll put you on the spot here. Or I should say, who would you rather?
What if they shut down Iowa in Wisconsin for the rest of the season? That'd be dope.
That was not my would you rather question. Okay. All right. My would you rather question. Would you rather bet $100 on Missouri to beat Florida or $100 on Kentucky to beat Georgia?
I would rather do, I'd rather do Missouri over Florida.
Okay.
They don't have a defense at all to speak of. And, you know, I don't know. I still feel like they're going to have some COVID issues as far as the game will be played, but there's got to be some, well, I don't know. I know there was a spread, so there's got to be still some people out, I'd assume.
Oh, yeah.
So
you, vague, yeah, you 100%.
Know, you know, but yeah, I would say I would go against the, I think Georgia's pretty solid all around. I know that second part of that game got out of hand against Bama, but they look pretty good in that game. So, yeah, I would go the potential that Florida – it's Mizzou, Florida, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Yeah, I would do that.
And normally, you know, as
I – mean, I'm not going to do that, but I would do that.
Sure. speaking of rivalries in the Big Ten, and again, I remember the years of, like, the crazy – the block punt. I don't know what they ever called it, but the Michigan State-Michigan game – this normally is a really fun game to break down, but Michigan State is a 20.5-point dog. You just lost your first game of the year to Rutgers, who is that right. one in a long time, and you had 8 turnovers. If they beat Michigan, oh my God, that'll be the start of next week's podcast. If this lackadaisical garbage team could walk in and beat Michigan in Ann Arbor, that would be freaking hilarious. But I don't see it happening. But yeah. A 24.5-point cover. Yeah, it's not really a rivalry game. It is. That's kind of like
it's rare. It's rare to see that. You're right, though, in that game.
Yes.
Very rare.
Well, and honestly, and this is on my fault. This is my dumb self for not paying attention. I was unaware that D'Antoni was gone. Because I was watching that game. I kept seeing him show the sidelines. Like, well, that sure as hell isn't Mark D'Antoni. I was like, oh crap. Oh, he's not there anymore. Okay, so definitely a tough new start to the new regime for Sparty. I don't really care much about him, but
you know, some guys left, some guys obviously got kicked off the team, you know, from the issues mm-hmm. there, but also that had to mess up their next year recruiting. You know what I mean? Cause I'm sure a lot of people left after, you know, the coach left. So,
100%.
They might be in more problems than we think, but it's still, though, you're right, in that rivalry, 24 points is a lot of freaking points, no doubt about it.
Well, and you know, just we'll get down to our crappy pick of the week here soon. Let me ask you this. You mentioned LSU Auburn, and normally 2 weeks ago I would have said that's Auburn because LSU's defense isn't that good, but LSU's cornerbacks came back. They cost me a rent payment bet, but also LSU Brennan was out and was hurt, and LSU brought in a kid, I believe his last name is Finley, and that kid actually put up a really damn good game. So we now apparently have, and Coach O talked about it, simplify the defense, and you'll have a quarterback in Finley who was 17 of 21 for 265, 2 TDs. He appeared to be much more competent for the offense than Brennan. What's your gut say on this one? Because, again, 2 weeks ago I would have said Auburn easily. Now, you got your cornerbacks are healthy, offense is in better rhythm. If Auburn gets a win from the ref booth this next week, I might boycott next week's show. What's your gut say for this one, brother? Who would you take in this matchup?
I'm going LSU. I think that for a lot of the reasons you just pointed out, I think they found their groove, and clearly they still have a lot of talent. It's just inexperience. And so I figure these last couple of, you know, this first month or whatever, they finally have. And that's actually before you even brought it up, or not the whole thing, but when you started talking about the backup, that would have been that's, I think, the main reason. And it's not like Auburn can stop a bunch of people either. You know what I mean? It's not as bad as LSU, but so yeah, I think it's going to be a wild game, but I think that they're going to come up. Auburn will come up short this time instead of getting lucky.
And in case you're wondering, the FPI index has LSU at 52.1%, but in a more important stat, LSU is favored by 3 at Auburn. So that's, and I know that college football home field advantage as much this year, but that's Vegas' way of saying, hey, we still kind of believe in LSU a little bit more than Auburn.
Right. Right.
Well, and lastly, I'll get my quick Kiffin quote in. Ole Miss is favored by 18 against Vanderbilt. They should not be an 18-point favorite against anyone, because I know Vanderbilt's offense sucks, but I bet Vanderbilt's going to score on Ole Miss. So I hope Ole Miss wins. They need a win. They're freaking 1-4. But I don't not think that Ole Miss can beat Vandy by 20, because Ole Miss's secondary is really, really, really bad.
It's me against the world. Is that what's going on at Ole Miss now? Me against the world? Oh, Jesus Christ.
Don't you love your co-host some days?
No, that's funny a good looking point, though. That is a good point, because they suck on defense, like, really bad.
It is funny looking back, because I remember, shit, like, 6-7 years ago, I remember that first time I mentioned Kiffin, you're like, oh, my God, like, seriously, can we move on? And every year, just the Lane Kiffin talk continues, no matter where the man travels to, I always find a way to fit him in. Co-host always rolls his eyes.
Do you think when they were creating their children, he put his hands up when he I won't stop that. Let me just get out of that. Okay, so we're going to do the crafty crap of the pick of the week. But just so you know, we had a funky – I'm going to let my co-host, you know, describe this stuff. Then we're going to pick this new one here. But I have a little – I got the evidence. I got the receipts. That's what the kids are saying. We got the receipts. Listen up to this one. Now I'm starting to see this. Now I'm starting to see what ASPN's talking about. But you know what? Sometimes you got to take risks. I'm going O'Hara. O'Hara and Pierce. The combo of O'Hara and Pierce is going to get it done on the road in Houston. I don't care. 90%, you got to put that thing to 100 to dissuade me in this one. Middle Tennessee Blue Raiders for the W. For the dub. What do you say about that? I told them. You got to crank that thing to 100. They didn't crank it to 100. So I said, I don't care if they're airpoint dog. I'm taking the boys in blue.
Actually, they're
both in blue now that I think about it.
In overtime, Rice kicks a field goal to score 3 points. It hits the goalpost and uprights 4 times. It doesn't go in.
Boom, 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 and then spits out the front of the ball, just kind of falls over, like just leans over the front of it. Because that after the third, it looked like, oh, it's going in, you know, like, oh, the fourth, nope, and it just trickles down, and that's game.
It's truly remarkable the amount of good karma that comes our way with picking it. Like these games, we've done a great job so far this year of crafty crap pick of the weeks. Even our first one of the year was crazy. Like we've had a really good year so far of this. And to add on your point,
4-1. If you want to get paid, 4-1. We're just saying.
When I saw the ESPN head title say, Rice misses a field goal that has 4 doinks. I'm like, in my head, I'm thinking, I've never seen a field goal kick. I've seen like the double doink, like the Chicago Philly stuff, but never 4. But it can happen. Now, it's probably a 1 in 10,000. Me and you could go to a football field tomorrow and kick probably 10,000 kicks, never have a forward doink again, but it happened, and it came through for our boys. So
O'Hara, dude. O'Hara, baby.
God bless. All right, moving on to this week. You know, you actually summed it up very nicely, saying that this week actually has a lot of good games, which made this pick a little bit hard because there's really not a shitty versus shitty matchup. So I'm going a little bit off-road here, a little bit. But I'm going to go with two teams who are normally always really shitty, but really haven't played much this year. So we're going for a 6 p.m. Central time. Okay, this is not on ESPN Plus, so if you're used to our ESPN Plus, you got to adapt a little bit. Hopefully you have FS1. This is the New Mexico Lobos traveling to San Jose State, and San Jose State has become a better team. They used to be like the worst team in football 5 years ago when we started this thing, but they're now respectable. But nonetheless, this is still a shitty matchup. So New Mexico travels to San Jose State Spartans. It's at the CEFCU Stadium in San Jose, California, home of the San Jose Sharks.
Very popular stadium.
Oh, very massively popular. They're not even showing ticket prices.
What the hell is that? Yeah, what is a CEFCU?
I got nothing.
Must be a corner.
But we got a Spartan against the Wolf. I will finish this with the alumni recap battling. Go ahead, brother. Take it away, my friend. Now, again, I apologize. The Lobos have not played a game this year. They are in a 5-game. Oh, God. I'll let you go.
Well, this one does get a little interesting when one team has played and one hasn't, but at least it's not like the other one, like last week. That was a little bit more difficult. This is a crappy, you know, game, though. I mean, let's not get it twisted. Like you said, there's no tickets on the sale. I suppose that's California.
True. You're right.
San Jose State, 53.9, according to ESPN's Football Power Index, 53.9. So that's basically a pick 'em type game. Yeah, you're right. New Mexico State, New Mexico straight up, I should say. They didn't finish the season on a strong note, per se, but then, you know, neither side really did. So this is okay. I'm gonna go. Well, first of all, you don't just walk into CEFCU Stadium and act like you're gonna get a W. I mean, that doesn't happen. I don't care if you're the Lobos or not. What is the San Diego State? Is that the Spartans?
There's really? Spartans, yeah.
Sparty. Okay. So this is a close game. I'm not going to look at last year's game because I don't want to skew myself. But I just – oh, I read that wrong. I was like, oh, dude, what? What the hell? Oh, the stadium looks like it – okay, I looked at it wrong. I was like, what the fuck is that? But, yeah, it's 30,000. Right above it, it says San Jose, California. It says 95,000. I was like, what? They don't have a 95,000. Okay, let me digress. So – in one game, the running back got 12 carries for 31 yards. They didn't run too well. Starkle looks like a decent quarterback. I don't know what I'm even saying. He could get the ball to gather. That's all I know. He had eight. You know what? They played a game. They're feeling pretty confident. Another one I look at is how they did against pretty good teams, or have they played a lot of competitive games, even if they're losing. And I like – like you said, I like this improvement from San Jose State. So I'm going to go with the Spartans, the home squad, to get the W in what might be another classic close game.
The fact that you're picking San Jose State, who even despite becoming better, who used to be one of the worst programs in the country, that's what this segment offers. It's beautiful.
That's right.
So yeah, follow that ticket to the window. And as I've decided to this year, we will now have a battle of alumni. We're going to start off with the New Mexico alumni. The first name on top of it is Brian Urlacher. That's a good start to the alumni list for New Mexico. I forgot that. Penny Marshall, I believe, was a famous actress. Luke Longley was a former NBA player. We also got Danny Granger, who was a Pacer, who was really good. We have a a lady in football pads named Katie Hinda. What is her story? She was the first woman to ever score a point in an NC Division I football game. Okay, there we go. That's a fact. All right. So she must have been the kicker. Oh, she actually she was the kicker who had that huge all those allegations of issues. I thought that was in Colorado. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. She went. So she must. Okay.
She took her talents to New Mexico and made some points. Good for her. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And after that, it really drops off. There's a guy named Byron Bell who has a Dallas Cowboys football jersey. I don't ever call his name. Oh, Holly Holmes. Okay, she's a badass UFC fighter. And Alex Bregman, who's a good baseball player. Okay, actually, that's pretty respectable, Chris. I would give that like a 7 out of 10, right?
Especially on the ladies with Marshall, too, because she's you know, very, very popular. So.
Oh, yeah. So they have a UFC fighter, the first ever woman to score points in a college football game, and Penny Marshall. All right, that's respectable.
Yeah. Right,
now let's go to San Jose State. The first name leading it off is good old Jeff Garcia of the 49ers. Okay.
Yep.
We got Dick Vermeil.
Who doesn't like how
coach.
Cam dresses, by the way. I saw that rant. Keep
God
going.
God almighty. So, yeah, Dick Vermeil, former Rams coach. Bill Walsh.
Philadelphia, too.
A former GOAT coach.
I didn't know that.
Jesus.
I thought it was what am I thinking? He coached at Stanford. He didn't.
Repping up the female side for them, Julie Angster, who's a really good golfer. Scrolling down the second page here. Oh, boy, it drops off fast. I'm not going to say names I don't recognize. Oh, God, there's one. you know, Chris, how sometimes in life you see a name and you can't help but laugh and giggle a little bit because at times we're little kids. There's this guy. Oh, my God. You have to go to Google. There's this guy who has a very corny mustache with a bow tie and some old white hair. His name is Dick Smothers. Good Lord. The man looks like he's 75 and a nerd. He's known for being an American actor, comedian, composer, musician. That name probably caused him a lot of being picked on in school. And Brandon Clark, a former current Memphis Grizzly. So in the Battle of Alumni, I gotta flip the script to New Mexico, a much better slate. But on that note, God, Jesus. Anyways, we'll be back next week. If Auburn wins another game due to an officiating overturn, it might just be Chris Solo. I refuse to want to see Bo Nix and War Eagle keep winning cheaply. But lastly, for my last note, go out and vote. Okay, I live in the state of Texas, and we've had 8% of our voter turnout last year already vote this year. So go out and vote. It's the first time possibly since 1976 where Texas could actually be Democratic and blue, which would be, if you're not a Trump person and you want Biden to win, California and New York are going that way. So if just by chance, if Texas went that way, that'd be a pretty crazy story. So go out and vote whoever you want to vote for. Mask up, go out and vote. We'll be back next week with another fun podcast, and take Chris's bet to the window. We're out tonight. Peace.